Olsen fakes it for pass in zone. Yes, touchdown to Greg Olsen. Wilson just got it away. There's Keith Lee. Touchdown, Carolina.
Hello and welcome to the Keep Sounding Podcast. This is Brian, joined by John as always. John, how are you doing this fine evening?
I'm doing nice, Brian. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm a little frustrated, I'm not gonna lie.
Why are you frustrated, Brian?
Well, just like happens every year, this team makes me believe that they're gonna win a game. Through the media, through the NFL media, through the beat writers, they make me believe that we're going to play a really good game. We're going to win. We're going to have a satisfying conclusion. And I just never learn. I just never fucking learn. But I will say, I am going to remain positive throughout the season, regardless of how it goes, because I want this show to be good. I want you guys to tune in. I want you guys to listen and
let's add a caveat to that. If the team turns into a dumpster fire, we will not be positive, because no one wants to hear people try to spin a dumpster fire into something positive, because then it's fun to hear the complaints. But as long as there's reason for optimism, we will err on the side of optimism, right?
Exactly. But yeah. After watching this Sunday, after everyone in my Pick'em League picked the Panthers to beat the Browns, and I joined right along with them like an idiot, they lost to the Cleveland Browns with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. And man, that was just hard to watch, I gotta say. So the Panthers' first three quarters was basically just a mix of the offensive line really struggling against Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney, which, you know, that's totally that understandable. Yeah, that's totally understandable. Baker Mayfield had five batted passes at the line of scrimmage by the Browns, which you can justify that by saying the Browns knew that Baker, as a shorter quarterback, is always going to struggle with that. So I believe they game plan to try and make that happen as well. But yeah, the Panthers offense really struggled. There was a lot of three and outs in the first three quarters. The Browns ended up running tons of plays against the defense. They ran the ball all over them. They ran for over 200 yards, I believe, or it was pretty close.
Yeah.
Yep. 217 between Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, which Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are probably the best running back duo in the NFL. And the Browns have a good offensive line, so I do get it. But according to Matt Rhule, the Panthers' defense missed a ton of tackles, so that's not good. So yeah, the first three quarters of that game, watching it live, were really difficult.
Yeah.
Oh, go
Thankfully
ahead.
For me, I had to miss the first half live, and then I got home at right at the end of halftime, so I only watched the second half, and the second half was pretty palatable on the whole, especially given the fourth quarter. And then watching the first half back didn't have the same sting, because I already knew the result. So but I could see how live that would have been horrific to watch.
Yeah, and it even sucked because there was the one play with CJ Henderson where the wide receiver was wide open and Henderson was chasing after him, but Jacoby Brissett threw a duck that the wide receiver really had no chance of catching, but CJ Henderson panicked because I believe he was either in man coverage or just flat out beat. So he ran up in the wide receiver's face, caused a pass interference penalty on the 1 yard, or in the end zone, I should say. So yeah, it resulted in a penalty that ended on the 1 yard line while Xavier Woods intercepted the pass. So right. Yeah, it was just not good. And, the front seven really struggled to get any pressure aside from maybe Brian Burns. I know Shaq Thompson had his moments, but yeah, the first three quarters were rough, but then Baker really turned it on in the fourth quarter. And that 75-yard touchdown pass to Robbie Anderson was a thing of beauty. And at first, everyone thought it was just a blown coverage by the Browns, but apparently after a few days, they came out and Baker said that they schemed up that play specifically looking for a certain look from the Browns. They saw it. Baker took the shot. Robbie Anderson ran right by the coverage and he scored. And that put the Panthers right back in the game. It was pretty amazing. I remember just sitting there being very miserable And then that play happened, and I was like, holy shit, they might come back. And they did.
Yeah, that was like the only way that the Panthers had a chance was if they had to have a quick strike touchdown, whether it be maybe not necessarily like one play, but they had to have a very fast drive to give themselves enough time to get a stop or and get the ball back. And that was exactly what they got, exactly what they needed.
Exactly what the doctor ordered. So Baker then took him down to the to score again with a rushing touchdown. And they were up. They were up by 1 point. I believe it was 1 point.
The other way around. The Robbie Anderson one, it was the rushing touchdown and then Robbie Anderson to bring the
Panthers. That's right. Yeah, okay. That's right.
And then we went down for the field goal to get up by one.
Which, of course, Matt Rhule didn't choose to go for it on fourth down, so he gave the Browns about a minute and a half, I want to say, to go for a field goal drive, which wasn't helped by the fact that the refs called a really bad call on Brian Burns as roughing the passer. I know he incidentally hit the quarterback's head, but it is what it is. So 15 yards, put him on the 40.
I thought it was like, but I was definitely, I did not feel as passionately against the call as like Jay Feely did. Like, I thought it was like, I wish they didn't call that, but also I could see why if I were like on the other side, I would be like, you could easily justify that call. Like, as a Browns fan, you could be like, yeah, that's a pass, roughing the passer, and I'd have a hard time like arguing against it.
I mean, on paper, it 100%
right.
is.
It's a frustrating call where it's like, man, it wasn't really that bad, but also like, if you know, I can't say it was the wrong call. Maybe it's like, maybe it was like ticky tack, but I can't say it was like bad.
But then there was the fake spike by Jacoby Brissett.
That one was bad.
That was bad. He didn't initially spike the ball, and then he spiked it after that, which once you attempt a pass or even like pump fake, you can no longer spike the ball and get a typical spike call.
Well, I mean, even by like the rule, intentional grounding only applies if you're under pressure, right? So like,
yeah,
if you are in the pocket and you just like throw the ball away and but you're not under any pressure, it's not intentional grounding. But I don't know what end it was, but the end came around the corner, and since he didn't spike it immediately and there was a defensive end in his face when he spiked it, that's him spiking. That's him throwing an intentionally incomplete pass to avoid a sack, which is like by rule intentional grounding. And so it should have been intentional grounding. Now, I don't know if it affects anything. Like, I guess there's probably a 10-second runoff on that, and that
there would be. Yes.
Right. So that would have like essentially ended the game, right?
Pretty much. Yeah. So obviously, not fun. Cade York, their rookie kicker, hit a 58-yard field goal, which if he misses that, then we're sitting here, you know, talking about how good Baker Mayfield is and how he brought the team back and blah, blah, right. blah. But yeah, that was just a rough one to watch. So
also that kick, like my off his foot, I was like, heck yeah, that's gone. That's missed. And then it hooked hard.
Oh, he drilled it too. It was like right down the middle.
It would be good from it was like high up on the net too. Like that was But I thought for sure he had missed that when he first kicked it. And like you said, all it takes if we're a rookie kicker missing a 58-yard field goal, like that's all it took. Like that's a pretty you take those odds. I mean, you obviously rather not be in a situation where you could lose it on that game, but or on that kind of play, but
I mean, the Panthers get that first down, the game's over.
So that was going to be my kind of follow-up question in terms of the general approach to the game. So we get to the 14-yard line, and we had our fourth botched snap of the game, put it at 2nd and 11. Now, I don't know what the play call would have been on the first, on the fumble, but what are your thoughts on prioritizing timeouts, like making Cleveland burn their timeouts before kicking the field goal, as opposed to trying to score a touchdown?
It's tough because I do think that running the ball made sense, and it sucks because their rushing game what's been being talked about a lot is that their rushing game wasn't used enough, but they really didn't run the ball well when they did run the ball. So
yeah, I mean, I'm okay with 11, 14, 14 carries for the backs and receivers. Like I'm not mad about that, but especially
I don't think it would have made a huge
yards per carry. Yeah.
I don't think it would have made a huge difference if they ran the ball 10 more times with McCaffrey. Like that, their defensive line was just handling the Panthers. It might have made it might have helped them because it seemed like the Browns started keying in on the pass, but I don't know. I mean, Baker was on fire. He had just scored two consecutive scoring drives. I really feel like on second and 11, you should have just thrown it there. But, and even if it's a high percentage, you know, like a slant route or like an out route, you know, nothing deep, maybe like just something to get a few more positive yards. Like third and seven is where I'd be like, okay, you should throw the ball. And even like, if they had gotten it to fourth and seven, let's say, I think maybe Matt Rhule would have went for it. But the fact that they went to fourth and 12, like, that's where I can totally see why Matt Rhule didn't just decide to go for it. But
well, they were losing at the time, so we had to kick the field goal.
Yeah.
But
oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But I mean, I'm talking about like second and third down of just like, you know, running out the middle and running clock and forcing them to burn time.
No, I wasn't a fan of that. I felt like after Baker botched the first snap, you should be throwing it on both of those downs.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand, like, you know, like worst case scenario, if we run the clock out, is like they have to kick a field goal and they have to do it with no timeouts. Where if we try and to try to get a first down and fail, they still need a field goal, but now they have all their timeouts. And maybe the math is different if like a field goal ties the game. Like if we're in a tie game, right? And the Browns, even if the Browns do get their field goal, you're still tied. I probably feel better about maybe they're a little bit more aggressive because it's like even if we give them more time, all we have to do is stop them from scoring a touchdown. But I don't know. I always, for the most part, err on the side of like just win the game. And maybe the other part of it too that factored into it was that if we score a touchdown and kick an extra point, we're still only up 8 and the Browns could still tie it. But in that situation, like if you score a touchdown, like you can't lose the game in regular.
I mean, Jacoby Brissett was not throwing well either, which is the other reason why I would have liked them to be a little more aggressive. Because like go ahead.
Thinking about it, if we get a first down, the game is over because Cleveland used their last time out to on the third down, right? And so
do you think they should have gone for it on fourth and 12?
We can basically kneel out the clock and kick a field goal at the buzzer to be done.
You think they should have gone for it on fourth and 12, or are you just
I'm talking about like attacking, getting the first down on the not just prioritizing burning timeouts. Like, I don't care if you call a run on second 11, even though I usually don't like that. But like on third and 11, like call a pass play. Like,
yeah, try to get 5 or 6 yards at least, and then you get a solid shot at a fourth and 5. You know.
Yeah, I would have preferred more aggression. I can't be like too mad about it because like it still put us in a position to win the game, and it still put us in a position where it took a roughing the passer penalty and a 58-yard field goal from a rookie to lose it. But I do like having asserting a little bit more control over the situation if you can.
I kind of feel like it was similar to that one game several years ago where I think it was the Broncos versus the Chargers where the Broncos found their way into winning a game they shouldn't be winning, and they just decided to go for it on fourth down and just end it instead of giving the Chargers a chance. Like, that's kind of how I feel about it. I know, like, maybe not a lot of fans would have felt that way because it wasn't the same situation where it was, like, you know, a fluke. It was just that Baker turned it on at the end of the game. But, yeah, I don't know. It was just a shitty game. Like, the Panthers' offense was put in a position where they had a chance to win, but they also had to remember the fact that the first three quarters were dog shit. So, I don't know. I don't know if there's a right answer to the question. I just wish it went better for them.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't have these questions if the Browns kicker, if Cade York just misses a 58-yard field goal like most.
Then we just say, oh, we won the game. We did it. We move on. Yeah, you know.
My follow-up question would be, or like, not, I say follow-up, but this is like completely unrelated. Are you concerned about how badly Icky struggled with Myles Garrett? Like, I know he's going to lose to Myles Garrett, but like, a couple of the stuff, sacks he gave up and the pressures he gave up were like tackling dummy levels.
Matt Rhule said that the first sack was a bad chip by the tight end.
That is true. But, well, the bad chip was that there was not a chip attempt. I do remember that.
Okay.
But,
well, I feel like you can't leave Icky on an island with Miles Garrett in his first game. You just can't. And they did it a lot. And the fact that Garrett didn't have more sacks was promising. I think that Icky's going to be one of those guys where every left tackle in their rookie year struggles. There's very rarely a guy who comes out and doesn't struggle. And the fact that he had to face Miles Garrett, arguably the best pass rusher in the NFL right now, like I don't think there was anything they could have done. They could have put what's his face? Brady Christensen out there. And I still think we would have seen the same result. So I think giving him the meaningful snaps is good. I think it's a good way to help the offensive line gel a little bit. I'm not really concerned right now. I just think what it is with Icky is that he's still like catching up to the NFL speed, because the same thing happened in the preseason. He gave up two straight sacks. I think it's just one of those things where he has one bad snap and then he comes back and he's not necessarily like moving on from it. And then he has another bad snap. So I think that's kind of more of what it is. I was just happy that he only gave up two. So, yeah.
Maybe playing against Miles Garrett in your first start on an island is going to be like when you put like a donut on a baseball bat and you swing it a few times it's heavy. So then when you take the donut off, the bat feels really light. He's going to be like, man, these defensive ends are nothing. Like I thought, after Miles Garrett, like it's going to feel easy.
I don't think it'll be like that. I think it'll be maybe like 6 or 7 games in. Maybe we'll see him like kind of settle down and not give up sacks. Like I have a feeling we're going to have like several times where he's going to give up a sack where you're just sitting there like, why the hell did they draft this guy?
Oh yeah.
For the first few games. And that's just rookie growing pains. I mean, he was a draft pick for the future. So I'm not upset. Miles Garrett's really good. So it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah. I think so too. I think that's kind of my thought. The sacks looked bad, but also like Miles Garrett does that to everybody. And also like, not that people have faith in the coaching staff, but like, I don't know. Maybe there's a reason they trusted him to try leaving him on an island against Miles Garrett.
You know
what I mean? Like if he was really struggling, I don't think they even like consider that an option.
No, I agree. And putting him at left guard wouldn't have really solved the problem to me. Right. So it's like the other thing that came up that I was reading on Panthers.com today, and this could just be Baker being, you know, trying to be a franchise quarterback where he takes the blame off his other people. But he said that he had happy feet a lot in the beginning of the game where he wasn't necessarily trusting his offensive line and moving around too much. So maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know.
Yeah, he did a little bit. I remember one play in particular. I can't remember which one it was, but it was when the Panthers were kind of backed up and he ran out of a like clean pocket, essentially. Just like his internal clock was like, I got to get out of here. And he kind of broke contain for no reason and ran in. Like he didn't get sacked, but he ran himself like into pressure and threw a questionable throw under duress when he could have held tight for another count or two before he had to move.
Apparently
delivered it from the pocket.
Good. That first sack too with Miles Garrett, that was a 3-step drop back and Baker basically kind of like looked down one side of the field and didn't throw the ball. You can't do that on 3-step drops. You just can't. So I don't know how much of it is Icky's fault. I don't know how much of it is just Baker's nerves fault, but week one is always ugly. It sucks when you don't walk away from week one without a win. But, you know, it is what it is. Like, this team's going to take some time to gel. Part of that's on Matt Rhule not deciding on his starters for several weeks into the preseason. But, you know, maybe we'll see them gel together and Baker get comfortable behind the line. I mean, this is a whole new situation for him. So maybe this is just a bad game.
And to be fair, like, everything looked really good in the fourth quarter. So, like, it's not like the whole game was a disaster and there's nothing to take. Like,
no, I mean, that play by Baker Mayfield and Robbie Anderson, I mean, that was just that's one of those times where you capitalize on the defense not being in the right place to be. Good teams do that. Like every team, every defense is going to have a play or two like that a season. Sam Darnold's not going to make that throw. Like, let's just be real. Like on that play, if they called the same play, I don't think Sam Darnold hits Robbie Anderson in stride for a 75-yard touchdown. I just don't. Yeah. So,
and we keep saying the fourth quarter, by the way. Like, it was really the second half. It's just that the Browns had the ball for a long time to start the third quarter. So we had the three and out were – or not three and out, but the first drive of the second half was when Icky gave up the two sacks to Myles Garrett. And then after that drive, the last three drives were 75-yard touchdown, 75-yard touchdown, 64-yard field goal. So, like, that's a strong finish.
Yeah, and that could just be the team finally getting their shit together, and maybe next, maybe they'll come out looking better in week two against the Giants. So
And then the Browns, even, and then I know the run defense wasn't great, but you know, there was a couple, there's much more efficient defense in there. Like the Browns weren't gashing them for runs. Like there was a little bit more of a grind in the second half than it was in the first half, where they were able to pick up some big chunks on the ground. But also, it's Nick Chubb. Like, that's all he does is picks up big chunks. Like, they showed the stat. He's, like, third in NFL history in yards per carry for his career. Jesus. Like, he's really good.
Yeah, and their team is built to run the football down teams' throats, so.
As an aside, do you remember when Sonny Michel was the better running back prospect coming out of Georgia?
Oh, my God, yeah.
I think they're in the same draft, too, and Sonny Michel got picked first. And Sonny Michel is, like, aggressively bad.
Yeah, I mean, he's okay for what he is. He's a power back, but Nick Chubb is definitely more of a complete running back.
Yeah, I thought 100%. See, I thought Sonny Michel coming out though was supposed to be like the explosive playmaker.
Well, he was.
And Nick Chubb was the power back, and then Sonny Michel was like, "Oh yeah, he actually is like just runs in a straight line and gets tackled by the first person that touches him, and then he'll gain exactly what's blocked for him." And then Nick Chubb is like a transcendent talent at running back.
Yeah, Nick Chubb is just a tank running. Like, I had him in fantasy last year, so I watched a lot of his highlights, and you just see this giant guy with giant shoulders running headfirst into people. I'm just like, Jesus Christ. Like,
he's very good.
Yeah, he is very good. So, but the problem is the Panthers will now face another very good running back, Saquon Barkley.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
I'm not looking forward to that, John. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, especially because he looked not like the Saquon Barkley of like the last couple of years.
Oh, you know, when he's healthy and not getting destroyed the whole time? Yeah. Crazy.
Like that.
They beat the Titans.
Yeah, but I mean, there was, but like, you know, like there was a time period last year where like you see the Giants on the schedule and you're not like, oh no, like what are we going to do about Saquon? Because Saquon, like, for like last year, like he averaged he averaged 3.7 yards per carry last year. Like he ran for 593 yards in 13 games last year. So like, not striking fear to anybody, but, and maybe, I don't know. Like yesterday or Sunday could have been a fluke, but did not look like it.
So no, it didn't look like it.
To your point, yes, I am now more concerned than I would have been previously.
Yeah, I mean, 18 carries, 164 yards, and one touchdown against the Titans, who were a playoff team last year. That's very concerning. I guess the difference would be that the Giants defense is weird in that they have a pretty good defensive line, but it's not nearly as good as the Browns because the Browns have those elite pieces in the secondary. And Daniel Jones is just one of those weird quarterbacks where he'll like make a good throw. One of those throws where you see the top five potential in them, and then you're like, what the fuck were you doing on the next throw? So it's like, I don't know. I have really no gauge on what this game's going to be like.
I got to pull something up. Keep talking, because I need to see something on Daniel Jones.
No, I mean,
we talked about it before, but
their wide receivers also aren't really all that good. I mean, I think Sterling Shepard is probably like their best receiver right now. They still have Kenny Golladay, but he didn't really come on at all last season, where Amari Cooper like tore the Panthers. Like the Amari Cooper's receiving stats don't reflect it, but he was beating the brakes off of J.C. Horn and C.J. Henderson this weekend. Like, if they had a better quarterback, Amari Cooper's going for over 100 yards easily. So I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, the Giants did improve their offensive line quite a bit. So I believe they drafted. Who was the guy that was opposite? It wasn't Cross. It was the other guy. I know they already have Andrew Thomas.
The Giants?
Yeah.
And who did they draft this year?
Yeah, they drafted the other tackle.
Evan Neal.
Yep, Kevin. Yeah, so they have
Evan Neal. Yeah.
Evan Neal. They have two top 10 draft picks at offensive tackle. So, in theory.
That was one of. I just want to make sure I was right. I know I'm pretty sure you talked about it on the show before. So here's something to take some solace in. The Giants beat the Titans. Daniel Jones had a good game ish. I don't know. His box score looks good. Completed like 80% of his passes, 188 yards, 9 yards per attempt, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Ran for a few yards. Daniel Jones for his career at home, or we'll start this, on the road, Daniel Jones has completed 64% of his passes with 30 touchdowns and 11 interceptions, and that's in 20 road games, okay? 6.94 yards per attempt. At home, 62% of his passes are completed, 17 touchdowns to 19 interceptions.
Oh.
His passer rating on the road is 92.4. His passer rating at home is 77.2. Pretty much every single one of his passing statistics is demonstrably better on the road. It does not, but we get Daniel Jones at home.
Hmm.
So we get the bad Daniel Jones somehow.
Hmm.
Can't handle that New York pressure.
Guess not. Yeah. I mean, John. I mean, that New York fans are just the worst. So, the worst.
But I mean, I'm like being facetious, but also like kind of serious.
Yeah.
But yeah, like he struggled. He has been significantly worse at home than he's been on the road for his career. So, there is that kind of going for us, and it wasn't as pronounced last season, I don't think, but still, like for the career, we're looking at much higher interception rates and turnover rates.
If I'm Phil Snow too, I'm game planning for Daniel Jones to scramble. Like, I don't think anybody was worried about Jacoby Brissett to scramble, where our linebackers aren't the best, but you know, Shaq Thompson can certainly play the spy.
He's fast if nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would think that you are keeping somebody there to get after him. On top of that, Daniel Jones doesn't exactly have the pocket presence of a veteran quarterback. I think the one thing that I can give Brissett is that he's been in the league for long enough and played enough games and won enough games that he had some decent pocket presence. But I'm a little concerned about the defensive line. I don't know if it was just the fact that the Browns were running all over him and they played so many snaps, because they played a fuck ton of snaps on Sunday. Yeah. But if the Panthers offense can be successful and get some more points on the board and not look totally dysfunctional for the first half, like I could see their I think their defense is built to play against the pass. So their offense kind of needs to score some points early so that they can play the way that their defense is built. So I don't know.
And the Giants defense is not, shouldn't be as good as the Browns defense. And they only gave up 20 points, but like kind of on a per play basis, they weren't like special against the Titans. Like, it looks like they played well because they only gave up 20 points. And like, to an extent you can say like, yeah, like you only gave up 20 points. That's a win. But, like the Titans averaged 8.1 yards per pass attempt. Tannehill only got sacked once, and he didn't lose any yards on the sack. They only averaged 3.6. Or Derrick Henry, I guess we'll just look at him because he's like the real kind of standard. He only averaged 3.9 yards per carry, but that's not terrible. And also, Derrick Henry tends to be a slow starter. And to kind of go back to the passing game, the Titans averaged over eight yards a pass attempt, and their wide receivers are Kyle Phillips, Treylon Burks, Robert Woods. Like, people, like, that's not...
Robert Woods is okay, but I think he needs to be in a much better offense.
One catch
where,
on two targets for 13 yeah, yards.
The Titans
like,
are not...
He's coming off a torn ACL. Like, he's not
the
guy right now. I mean, like, their leading receiver was this guy named Kyle Phillips, who is a rookie fifth-round pick.
Yeah.
So, if they can get 9 yards per pass attempt against the Giants' defense... I think the offense should be able to move the ball a little better, especially because we don't have Baker trying to do too much for his revenge tour, and then also just a week of cohesion under the belts.
Right. And a little humble pie. That never hurts. So
no.
Leonard Williams concerns me a little bit, but the rest of their defensive line, I mean, from what I understand, they move their defensive line all over as far as alignments, so that could be advantageous, actually. So, we'll see. I know Taylor Moten was limited this week, which if he's out, that would be not ideal. So
no, but well, I didn't even see that. What was he limited?
He was limited today. Yeah. Or no. I should say Wednesday. Being limited on Wednesday is not usually a big deal, but
no,
something to monitor.
I feel like it's very rarely a big deal.
Yeah.
Just so you know, this is everybody's favorite statistic. Come into a podcast near you. DVOA for week one, which like no noise there, but the Giants DVOA for week one was 30th in the NFL.
Oh wow.
Behind or ahead of only the Packers, who let the Vikings go crazy, and the Cardinals, who like did not put up any resistance to the Chiefs. So I think so the Giants defense shouldn't be something to be concerned with, and to your point, which should hopefully, you know, allow the Panthers to put up more points, have a little bit more rhythm, maybe get the defense in a more in a better spot to like get some rest and be a little more aggressive and make more plays.
Yeah. We'll see. I'm so skeptical after watching the Panthers. Like, I just want to see one performance from them where they're consistent throughout the entire game. And if they do that, they will renew my faith in them. I just don't know.
Yeah, so we'll see. That's fair. I don't want, like I said, I don't want to get like overly confident, but I don't view the Giants. Like, I think they're getting kind of some flowers for being, you know, beating the Titans, who were the one seed last year, but the Titans were also like a pretty historically bad one seed, both in terms of like general performance and their record. They were like, 11? They were like 12-5 or something. Like, not the record of a typical one seed.
Right.
And they lost several pieces. And mm-hmm. I don't think, so I'm not like, and it's also week one, like kind of the point we talked about before. Like, week one is predictive of nothing.
No, I mean, the 2015 season, the Panthers only barely beat the Jaguars, and they had to get a pick six to win it. So, yeah, it's one of those. Week one's always just ugly, like always ugly. So maybe those snaps to get the offensive line some gelling would be good. I don't know. I guess we'll see. It's hard for me to say right now. Really hoping to see a better look from the secondary, but Yeah, it's just going to be – I also hope that they do hand the ball off more to Christian McCaffrey this game. I feel like last game it was basically like they were playing against a really good front seven that was going to dominate them regardless of what they did. Not to say I want McCaffrey handling the ball 32 times, but
yeah, be careful what you wish for.
20 to 21 touches between rushing and receiving is probably fair. Because at this point, they really need him. So I guess we'll see. But anything else you want to add before we get into scoring predictions?
No, I'm good. Oh, by the way, the Giants also only won because the Titans' very veteran kicker missed a 47-yard field goal at the end of the game.
I do remember that. Yeah. It's okay. We also have a very veteran kicker who's totally good at kicking kicks. So,
but just pendulum, massive swings on the pendulum based on the outcome of one play at the end of a game.
Right. So,
get too caught up in it. Anyway.
Nope.
Score predictions.
So I'm going to give it 17-13 Giants just because they need to get my faith back.
Okay.
I think Saquon is going to be a problem. I don't know if he's going to run for 160 yards like he did against the Giants, but I don't really know because from what I saw from the Panthers front seven on Sunday, I would think they might be a bottom 28 rushing defense. So it's hard to say.
I'm going to go with Panthers 28. Giants 20. I feel like 28 is pretty awesome.
Still sticking with it. I like it.
I will do that for most of the season.
I know you will. I enjoy your optimism because it counters my pessimism.
Somebody's got to do it, you know?
What's the random number generator telling us?
Random number generator says we're going to click. Oh, I need to give it a bigger scale. I was like, why is it giving me such low numbers? Because the scale is 1 to 10. Panthers 24, Giants 29.
So we're going to lose again. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Brian, I'm just putting in my notes on my phone. So I said, 17-14 Giants?
Yeah.
You said, what was your score again?
28-20.
28-20 Panthers. And the RNG said,
24-29
Giants.
Yeah.
So far...
I don't remember where I saved my thing.
That's okay.
For me already.
So far, you and I are both 0-1. The RNG is 1-0. So we'll see what happens this week.
We're coming for you, RNG.
Either you're going to tie it up, or I'm going to be right alongside RNG with one game down.
Yeah, one of us is gaining a game on the RNG.
Yes. Unless they tie. In which case we all lose.
Well, we still, I guess, are kind of gaining a game on them because
on it. No, it just puts us all on an even playing field.
Yeah.
So, but anything else you'd like to add, John?
I'm all set.
Well, excellent. So hopefully this game is a little more fun. I'd really like to see the Panthers come out and not struggle for three quarters, and hopefully that's the case. Hopefully Matt Rhule has them a little more prepared for this game. I'll be happy for every Panthers fan if the Giants win this, or excuse me, if the Panthers win against the Giants this weekend, because that means we can be happy. Well, yeah, I'm not rooting against the Panthers. I just think the Giants are going to win. But anyway. From all of us here at the Keep Sounding Podcast, this is Brian, joined by John and myself, as always. Stay tuned, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you next week.
See ya.